Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
You know, we have some brand new Mark Reardon Show t-shirts that are being made right now friend Luke Bly and Whiskey Dickerson. But here's the deal. I think there's a miss here. We should have Fred Bottomer t-shirts. I mean, his fan club came out last hour. Fred, he had all kinds of adulation from the callers.
Just like a picture of Fred, and then it says the Mark Reardon Show. I think that's great.
But it has to say Bottenheimer, don't you think?
Yeah.
We have a lot of KFTK listeners in my neighborhood. And I actually saw my neighbor Jim cutting his grass in your t-shirt, Mark.
Oh, I love that. Well, we got to make sure that Jim gets the I'm not sure what the timeline is for the new t-shirts, but there's also word. Did I show you the Reardon Roundtable one that he might do? He was messing around with the Reardon Roundtable.
I haven't seen anything. I would like to see the one they're planning.
Top secret artwork, Sue. I don't know if I can help you with that. let's see here. A couple things that I wanted to mention as we get into tonight. First of all, I'm so excited for this. It's the final episode of Better Call Saul. For those of us who have been completely absorbed for years, it's going to be an emotional night. It's been so good, the quality. You know, I think there's a couple of different types of entertainment. You could sit back and just watch something, have fun. Maybe you miss a few scenes. It's not that big of a deal. But with Vince Gilligan and Breaking Bad and this prequel, which now, interestingly, might be a sequel in a weird way, it's been fascinating to watch and really cross-reference some of the things that have happened in the past with Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. You have Carol Burnett, which has been an important part. Jesse and Walt have been back in the past couple of weeks. We've seen glimpses of them and other references to characters from Breaking Bad. So that's going on tonight. I'm very excited.
What are you
going to
do with your time when this is over? You kind of have to mourn these things.
Well, I got other shows to do. But, you know, this will be an emotional one. I'll also say this. It would not be – there's a couple of different shows that I've watched twice completely through.
What was the other
Mad
one?
Men, absolutely.
Oh,
watched,
interesting. Well,
in fact, I probably watched Mad Men maybe some of those episodes three times, but it was worth it to me to watch and go watch every episode. I've made it through a fair amount of Breaking Bad again as well, but I would watch Better Call Saul from the beginning again. My wife never watched it, so if she wanted to go back and watch it, I would absolutely do that. Hey, Fred, do you remember, what was the guy's name from Canada that got into trouble and he had the issues with drugs? Ford was the last name. Do you remember what his first name was?
It was his brother, isn't it?
Wasn't that Rob Ford?
I think it's Rob Ford.
Okay, so the Ontario premier right now is Doug Ford. Sue, do you remember Rob Ford at all?
No.
I'm going to have
to help me.
He was a rather loud, rather large person that was just dynamite for sound cuts.
And he was a little... like, I think he had a drinking issue and he was not healthy, but he took a stand. Google his name.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I got him.
What does it say there?
Large, follically challenged individual.
But
Toronto ex-mayor.
Yes, that's it. The mayor of Toronto. Does it say with the controversy or anything? He died a few years ago.
Yeah, it said Ford withdraws. No, I'm going to have to dig in.
Okay, but here's the reason I bring it up. His brother is Doug Ford, and he is currently the premier of Ontario, and he's doing a news event the other day, and this happened.
It's coming from the health sector. Holy Christ.
What was that?
I just swallowed a bee.
Oh, my God.
Christ, I knew that little bugger.
You okay?
I'm good. He's down here buzzing around right now. He has a lot of real estate.
I've already tweeted it.
Holy Christ, he's wedged in my throat. Sorry, guys. Little bugger got away in there.
Take a second.
No, I'm okay. He's buzzing in there.
He also said, so when this happened, he goes, man, he went right down the hatch. And he said, he's right about this. He goes, this is going to be played over and over and over again. It's getting a lot of buzz.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That happened on live TV, I think.
That's wild.
I know. But it also makes me miss his brother because he was such a special, special person when it came to radio sound bites. And I believe he gave us a few audio cuts of the day, if I'm not mistaken. Let's do this afternoon.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, this one's for Abby. 83 years ago, we've got music for this. In 1939. That's right.
You have to see the wizard.
The Wizard of Oz.
What can we call those people singing right there?
Are we allowed to say?
Technically, they're fictional characters in a fictional race, so Munchkin is still fine.
Ah, thank you, Abby.
Okay, all right.
No triggering there. Okay. I like to hear that's a good answer, by the way.
Well, this was 83 years ago. This is one of Abby's favorites, Wizard of Oz. It premiered at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood, and she's loved it. I could do without the flying monkeys, but no one asked me.
You know, I never really thought much, and this is just being honest, I never thought much about the flying monkeys in my entire life until my little daughter, and my kids have seen it, my boys saw it,
of course.
Didn't care about the flying monkeys. My daughter, when she first watched it, she was probably around 4, and she was into it, but the flying monkeys got her freaked out.
Yeah.
Right.
And when my mom sat me down to watch it, I thought, this is scaring me, and I'm not sure that should be like a mom-required viewing. You know what I mean?
They always scared me, too.
I think they scared me when I was really little, but I quickly outgrew it because I watched it so many times. And I was like, oh, it's just the flying monkeys. That's no big deal.
It's just the flying monkeys, Fred.
Which
There's a name for a good group. Yeah, there probably is one.
Probably is a group. Have you seen Wicked, Abby?
I have.
Fantastic, isn't it?
At the Fox.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's great.
57 years ago today in 1965 was when the Beatles played Shea Stadium. And I should have pulled up a Beatles song, but I did not.
You know, it's funny that you said that because my friend Gary Stromberg was posting about that. Gary's got a real interesting background. He was working in the music business in the 1970s, but he went to that show and he said he was in the fourth row. He posted a picture of that today.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know, right?
They played for 35 minutes, but it was the one where nobody could hear anything because the fans were screaming so much. Fred, do you remember that?
No, I don't.
And 23 years ago today, that's in 1999, 23-year-old Tiger Woods won the PGA Championship, becoming the youngest player to win two majors since Ballesteros in 1980. You remember that, Mark? I don't know.
Seve Ballesteros.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Well, that was huge when Tiger was coming out. I think the excitement around golf will probably never be the same. Yesterday was pretty good, though. I don't know if people watched the FedEx Championship yesterday. Will Zalatoris did in a playoff. They had to play the 18th hole, I think, 3 or 4 times in the end before it was all over. I think they played it 3 times.
I bet they're grateful that that happens now with the whole other thing going on. You know, they just want to grab people. All right, weekend box office number one movie, Bullet Train. And it only made $13 million. I mean, that's not much in the scheme of things. The number two movie was Top Gun Maverick. Fred, we have no excuse.
Wow, they came back.
Yes.
Doesn't make sense that Hollywood, we talked about this a little bit with Christian last week, but Hollywood has, I guess, considered this a dumping ground, and maybe they just don't have as many projects because of COVID ready to go. But, boy, that's a missed opportunity, isn't it?
It is. I totally agree with that. That made $7 million. It's now up to $673,724,507. I mean, that's a lot. Number three was DC League of Super Pets. Did you see that? Did you take a look?
I did not. We have not seen that.
Okay. That only made $7 million. Nope was number four at $5.3 million. And Thor Love and Thunder came in at 5.3 million, but that's pretty down too. I can't believe Maverick keeps coming back. Okay, people in San Francisco.
I would bring that damn movie back at Christmas time. I mean, you probably can't because you have bigger movies and not enough screens, but you could do it with that type of movie. You could do a whole campaign, see it again on the big screen.
Maybe they will. I mean, why not?
Maybe you don't do it around Christmas just because of the other releases, but you could easily do it in the spring.
That's true.
You know, depending on when they release it.
People in San Francisco, this is nuts to me, have been finding notes on their cars that basically say, pay me so I don't have to rob you.
Coming to St. Louis neighborhood soon.
Someone posted a photo of a note that said, quote, I don't want to steal anymore, but I still have bills to pay. Can you help me, please? And there were three ways to pay. PayPal,
Venmo?
Cash App, and they even had a QR code on there.
You have got to be kidding me.
Isn't this just stealing with, like, extra steps? Like, pay me so I don't.
Yes! It's extortion.
Yeah.
The local news, I mean, what? Local news looked into it. It turned out the same note had been left on a bunch of cars around the University of San Francisco lately. One woman on the news said she worked in the area. She was worried that the person might come back and break into her car if she didn't pay. She decided not to, but at least one of her coworkers did send money. San Francisco police say it's the first time they've seen this tactic used. How do you get a QR code, Abby? I mean, I wouldn't even know how to do that.
You know what's funny about the QR code? This is an interesting tie-in because the car wash that I go to that's near my house, mm-hmm. And I tip most times. I mean, if I don't have a couple dollars, I'll tip the next time, right? But a lot of people, we've talked about this, they don't tip probably. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have cash, it becomes tougher, and a lot of us don't have cash.
That's true.
But I noticed this over the weekend. They had a big sign that said tips appreciated, and they had a QR code. So I suppose what would happen then? But
that's an official business, right?
So that's a little different because
it's
a business.
The link.
But I do find that interesting because if I do that with my camera,
mm-hmm.
the way that works, you just put your camera mm-hmm. and then something comes up where I guess you can make a donation.
Yeah.
Right?
It'll just send you a link to it. But if they've got PayPal, they can obviously track down. I would think they'd be able to track down who it is. I guess they don't care.
But I was coming. This raises the question. When will this come to a panhandling corner near you? I was coming back from playing golf yesterday morning. I'm at the corner of Clarkson and Manchester. Clarkson and Clayton, one of those. I think it was Manchester. And there were two people that were at different corners. I think it was husband and wife. Homeless, you know, help here, all of this stuff. I was so close, and I didn't want to be mean about it. I honestly was going to say, you know, maybe I'll do this, give you a couple bucks and say, can I ask a serious question? Have you tried to get any work? Have you applied for any jobs? It's a sincere question.
I know, there are a lot available.
Yeah.
Yes. In a poll on houseplants, said Sue, completely changing the subject, 33% of people say they have zero houseplants, which I find to be evil. 10% said there's virtually no chance they could keep a plant alive for 6 months.
That's me.
You? That, what?
There's not a chance.
Do you have a houseplant?
Unless it's a cacti. No, I have fake plants.
Oh.
All my plants, they're pretty good-looking fake plants,
they?
But they're fake. But part of
they
part
get
of the
dusty,
problem,
don't they?
You know, I think you'd be surprised. Okay. But the cats, I can't. They dig in the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a nice excuse. Fred, how's your green thumb?
It's really bad. We go through plants quickly.
Really?
Neither of you two seem to die.
You just don't water them too much. Abby?
I have killed a cactus.
Wow,
so
that's quite an achievement.
Yeah, I try plants every once in a while, but they never seem
Here's
to last
what we do.
For me.
Let me tell you what happens. Either I'm ordered or my wife goes to wherever, Lowe's or some garden shop, right? And she picks up a bunch of those things that are in planters that you put out in front of your house. What would those be? Like azaleas or something? I don't even know what it is.
Well, that'd be past that, but sure.
Okay. They're put on the front porch or maybe at a strategic area in the front yard. And then I just basically place my bets in Vegas on how soon they're going to die. Because
no one waters them?
Well, that's the problem. That somebody does have. We try, right?
Yeah.
But there's never any level of success with those.
What does we try mean? You argue over who waters?
No, I stay out of it, but every once in a while
that
I try to.
That might be a factor.
Yeah, except that it's not my project, okay? Happens is that I say something like, oh, those will be dead in about 5 days. Uh-huh. Oh, no, no. And then they get watered for a few days, and then there's no water, right?
And finally, in Sue's news, today's random fact, that seemed to be a marital insight that I'm not sure we knew we were walking into. Every single Snickers bar, except the tiny Halloween-sized ones, are made in Waco, Texas. The same plant produces all the Starburst in North America. It's one place, Waco, Texas.
Wow. Why don't they do the little ones there, though, Sue?
I don't know.
That begs the question,
doesn't
it? We'll
look that up for tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I do love
probably
the Snickers bar,
too. Probably have to change
the
equipment, right? They probably don't want to,
tiny bars?
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds feasible for sure. 422, 97.1 FM Talk.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, for me, it's still a little difficult to talk about the Inflation Reduction Act because it makes me laugh that it's called the Inflation Reduction Act. The other thing is that there's no inflation. The president, the administration told us that last week. Here's Larry Kudlow.
It is a pathetic piece of legislation. It is the wrong bill at the wrong time for the wrong country.
For a variety of different reasons, and this one might get into the weeds just a little bit, but I ran across a piece on Real Clear Politics on the energy section about, you know, infrastructure and building things in this country and red tape and bureaucracy. Chris Barnard is with me. He wrote that piece that was on Real Clear Energy. He's the National Policy Director for the American Conservation Coalition. How are you, Chris? Thanks for joining us here in St. Louis.
Thanks for having me.
So this is one of those situations where, and some of the things that you included in this particular piece are stunning. The amount of time that it will take to build something. Let's just start with Vineyard Wind. You want to explain what that is? That's off of Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Vineyard Wind is a project, as you said, off the coast of Massachusetts, and it would actually be the U.S. largest offshore wind installation that we've ever built. But the project was originally proposed in 2009, and it'll only start producing clean wind energy by the end of 2023. And so it's taking 14 years from inception to completion for a project that many people in this country say we need, but we're just making it incredibly hard with red tape for these kinds of projects to be built.
And are these things exacerbated, I'm guessing, from this bill that has passed Congress?
Well, the thing is that we've actually built up red tape and bureaucracy around these kinds of infrastructure projects for decades. And the problem is that right now what we are doing is we are throwing billions of dollars at these infrastructure projects, clean energy projects, but we're not really going to the root of the problem of why it's so difficult to build these things in the first place. And so what we need to be doing is we need to have a conversation about cutting some of that red tape, of getting the government out of the way so that we can start building these projects much more quickly and much cheaper than we have currently been able to do. And just throwing billions of dollars at the problem is not going to fix that.
Yeah, this is a pretty stark line here. You wrote, there's a fundamental disconnect between climate activism and reality. While environmentalists clamor for trillions of dollars in public investment in clean energy infrastructure, from wind and solar installations to transmission lines to electric vehicles, few are willing to embrace an inconvenient truth. We've made it nearly impossible to build in America, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And it all goes back to an environmental statute called the National Environmental Policy Act, which was introduced over 50 years ago in 1970. And that's basically a review process for any time we want to build a major infrastructure project in this country, we have to go through that process and get official approval to do so. But as I said, it dates back to 1970, and it has been unable to keep up with the pace required to allow these new infrastructure projects to be built. And just to put two numbers on it, on average for that review process to be completed, it takes 4.5 years and $4.2 million just for a project to be approved. That's before it even starts building. And so you can imagine that with that amount of money and that amount of time, it's, in fact, nearly impossible to build in America.
Yeah, so and the great irony, as you point out, you have 42% of the energy products that are backlogged under, you know, that process are clean energy projects. So the same people who want all these rules and regulations, red tape and bureaucracy, are inadvertently holding back clean energy projects that could actually reduce CO2 emissions.
Yeah, that's the biggest irony of them all, is that actually these governments regulations are standing in the way of clean energy projects from being built. And the other irony is that recently President Biden actually overturned some reforms that President Trump had made to make that NEPA process that I just mentioned, their environmental review process, more efficient. And President Biden took back those rules, took back those reforms because he thinks that they would be the best way to protect the environment. But actually, as we mentioned, 42% of these projects are clean energy projects. Only 15% are fossil fuel ones.
I want you to, Chris, get into the nuclear aspect of this. Look, I'm a big believer in nuclear energy. We've, you know, not done anything in decades, so now it's nearly impossible to get on track with that particular form of low-emission energy. But there's, you know, some details in your piece about the process here for nuclear energy in particular.
Yeah, whenever a nuclear project wants to be built, it has to go through what we call the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And it's just another one of those bureaucratic agencies here in Washington, D.C. And the fact is that for nearly three decades, it hadn't approved a single new nuclear project. And as you mentioned, nuclear is something that we should be building more of. It's clean, it's reliable, and it's affordable. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and their burdensome red tape has made it almost impossible to build new reactors in this country, and it costs billions of dollars to even get the process underway, as well as years. And we're never going to be able to build the nuclear plants we need if we're going to keep making it that difficult.
Well, and you know, you put in some perspective here. So we have two reactors that are currently under construction in this country. In China, 46 reactors currently under construction or planned, right?
Yeah, and they're planning for many more up into the 200 or 300. They're planning, while we're just really lagging behind, and we're allowing a country like China to really take the lead on a crucial energy source such as nuclear, rather than taking the lead ourselves.
But here's the bottom line at this point. You know, this is where I don't hold out a lot of hope. I think that everything that you talked about in this piece is spot on, and people need to know how the regulations are holding back progress. But I'm just in a situation, realistically looking at this, how do you ever turn the clock back on this? Even if you get a new administration or, you know, control of Congress, which hopefully will happen next year, is there a way to effectively do this to make sure that we can vault forward? Because there's going to be a natural lag because everything's behind already, isn't there?
Yeah, of course. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to roll back some of these regulations and make it easier to build, especially clean energy projects. My organization, the American Conservation Coalition, works a lot in Washington, D.C. On these issues, and we recently launched our climate plan called the Climate Commitment. And one of the pillars of that climate plan is streamline. We need to streamline our regulations. We need to get government out of the way, and we need to make sure that we can build these projects on time. And so hopefully with a new Republican majority come next Congress, we'll be able to actually implement policies that introduce reforms that make sure that we can build these projects on time and as cheaply as possible, which right now we're just simply not able to do.
All right. Well, I appreciate you writing about this. It is an important issue. I was even talking about this a little bit earlier in terms of a friend of mine who is in the industrial gas business and was speaking in, you know, kind of in relation to what happened a couple of years ago with the pandemic. And, you know, at one point we were worried about, you know, having enough oxygen. Well, we had plenty of oxygen, right? It was just making sure that you can convert the liquid oxygen to, you know, breathable oxygen. Well, the problem is in California in particular, as you're probably aware, Chris, the hoops that you have to jump through just to get something like that expanded or built, it takes 3 years. So, you know, you're looking for quick solutions in a crisis. There is no quick solution because we've made it impossible for people to really move forward.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate truth about government red tape, really, in all sectors of the economy. We're talking about infrastructure projects here, but also if you talk about things as important in California as forest management and making sure that our forests are less right. susceptible to wildfires, red tape's standing in the way of that, and it's costing lives. And so really, we need to relook at the way that government uses regulation in our economy and make it much more common sense and much more sensible rather than what we have right now.
Chris Barnhart, no doubt about that. National Policy Director for the American Conservation Coalition. Appreciate you coming on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, there was and I'm trying to track this guy down. Fred's trying to get James Miggs on the air because he wrote a real good piece for City Journal, and here's what he said. He said, in 2016, a radical new environmental group emerged in the United Kingdom. The loose-knit organization called itself Extinction Rebellion, or XR. It aimed to raise awareness of climate change through disruptive protests. XR activists staged dramatic die-ins and shut down London bridges and metro stations. Some of you might remember some of this from a few years ago. The group's leaders warned that climate change could kill 6 billion people this century, and they called for Britain to halt the use of fossil fuels virtually overnight. So it was kind of like Occupy Wall Street, which inspired it. XR disdains detailed policy prescriptions. The members don't like our modern energy-intensive lifestyles. They reject nuclear power and other high-tech approaches to reducing emissions. To save the planet, many people believe, and this is what you hear from some of the climate alarmists, capitalism needs to be overthrown. That's essentially the view of the climate alarmists, the extreme. So he goes into a description, James Miggs does, who wrote this piece, of someone by the name of Zion Lights. I'm sure that was her real name. One of the most charismatic people in the group. She's the daughter of Indian immigrants, the mother of two. Zion Lights was a longtime environmental advocate. In fact, The Telegraph, across the pond publication, dubbed her Britain's greenest mum. But the problem was Zion Lights apparently had a brain of her own, because what she did is she looked into some of these things. She wanted to understand the issues better. So James says that Lights returned to college. She studied the debates surrounding nuclear power-related themes. Here's the quote. I started to realize that almost everything I had believed was wrong. When Lights tried to discuss her new perspective with her XR colleague, she said, I found there was immense, immense resistance. So she backs off and she has to ask herself, as James Miggs describes, a painful question. What if you dedicated most of your life to trying to save the planet, but then you realized you may have actually potentially made things worse, right? This is exactly what our previous guest was describing. That's exactly what happens. And Mr. Miggs says, look, this is a question that more environmentalists should really grapple with today, because you've had 50 years now of these supposed victories in reducing air and water pollution and wilderness and protecting wildlife. But when it comes to, and some of those things were very good, you know, as someone who hunts and fishes, I can claim that we're all for cleaner air and water pollution. Some of the things that were tried were way too extreme. But when it comes to climate change, global warming, and that's like the biggest threat that the environmentalists think exists right now. It's not China. It's not crime in the streets. It's the fact that the planet is warming ever so slightly, and that's going to create problems for us 100 years into the future, even though we have ways as a species to adapt to things like that, and that's what people do. But the green policy elite, all the perspectives that they've had, have done more harm than good. Now, they won't admit this, but I think it's awesome when it gets explained the way that James did, and also Christopher Barnard previously. Frank Cusimano's coming up next on this Monday afternoon 97.1 FM Talk. How about Albert yesterday?
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The pitch on the way. Pujols swings and hits a drive. Deep left center field. It's long, long gone. A home run. Three-run homer. Albert Pujols. Sensational.
How about that day for Albert Frank Cusimano? Very exciting. Not just one, but two. In fact, on Friday, we had this talk, and one of us made the point, you know, he kind of needs to maybe hit a couple in a weekend, and we got that accomplished, didn't we?
We did. I think most 42-year-olds have, you know, a Sunday where they hit 835 feet worth of home runs in a major league game.
It's ridiculous.
You know, Mark, I've asked him this like four or five times about 700, and every time, you know, he kind of back, you know, just really puts it on the back burner. And I said, okay, Albert, I know it's all about the team. I know it's all about a championship, but is it in the back of your mind? And he says, yes, it's in the back of my mind, Frank, because I don't think about it. So he's saying that. I don't quite believe him. But I'm telling you, I would never bet against him here.
Yeah.
And, you know, the final six games are in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is like a little stadium that he has hit extremely well in. It just could be electrifying. It'd be the most excitement in Pittsburgh since We Are Family.
I think it doesn't make sense that he would not have it lingering in his mind because people bring it up. But here's the way I interpret what happened yesterday on that second home run. When I saw him, you know, make that move with his hands across his chest, he held, and by the way, then the Brewers score a run in the ninth inning and certainly could have tied the game. So that three-run home run really mattered. But that was about along the lines of what Gorman did the week before with the Yankees, about winning a championship. And these guys are fired up right now. They know they can win this division, and I think it's about getting back to a World Series. I asked this question somewhat rhetorically. How many World Series have Albert Pujols been in since 2011, Frank?
Zero.
Yeah, that would be zero, right?
He's been to one postseason, in fact, in this 11-year period.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about. And, you know, it's so important for them to win this division. Because, Mark, if you win the division, you host that
for three games,
round
right?
of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, three games at Busch. And here's the thing. Is there a completely different team at Busch than they are on the road? They've won 10 out of their last 11. I believe there's 17 games over 500. And if you were at Busch Stadium yesterday, it's just freaking electric. It really is. I don't know. You know, I've been to Dodger Stadium, and I know they technically draw more. But I don't think there's an environment like it in Major League Baseball.
Well, what about Saturday? And Saturday ends up being a big bummer because Waino has this great performance, and then we go into extra innings and lose. But the amount of fans that are – it feels like even this weekend felt like a playoff series.
Yeah, I texted to Joe Strong, who does such a great job with tickets for the Cardinals. And we're not on a historical pace, but with that said, I can't remember the last time they've had 44,000 or more for six consecutive games, the Yankees and now the Brewers. And I imagine with the way Albert's hitting, it's going to be packed this week with Colorado.
Well, let's talk about this series because obviously it did not turn out so well last week in Denver. That's a different ballpark, though. And as you point out, there's a little opportunity for retribution this week.
There is. And I think the most interesting call will be Ali Marmol tomorrow because the Rockies are going to throw a right-hander. Albert doesn't hit right-handers, but throw that out the window. When you hit two home runs on a Sunday afternoon that go 835 feet, you get to start the next game regardless if it's lefty or righty. So it's going to be an interesting call, but I think he's going to start him.
Well, let's talk about a couple of bats that might have gone a little quiet now because the outfield has some issues, although we have, you know, capable backups, right? So speaking of tough decisions, I think this manager is going to have to make some in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and the good news is yesterday, the two guys that locker right next to each other, Tyler O'Neill and Dylan Carlson, both had big moments yesterday. And boy, you talk about guys that needed it. Tyler O'Neill was 0 for 14 with 8 strikeouts in that at-bat. He's a tireless worker who's just trying to figure things out. And you know, Mark, you think about it, we're in first place, and this outfield has not been productive at all. You're not getting production in left, you're not getting production in center. And, you know, in right field, it's been a mishmash of people, although Lars Nootbaar has had a very good month. So if you can get Tyler going, that changes everything. And I still think he will get going. I can't picture him being bad the final month and a half because he cares so much and he just wants it so badly.
So you have, I'm just kind of looking this up. You might know off the top of your heads. The Brewers have the Dodgers for the first part of the week. Do you know who they have at the end?
I haven't seen that, but this is a great middle of the week. Brewers with the Dodgers and the Cardinals with the Rockies, despite the fact the Rockies took 2 out of 3. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, this is a nice stretch here.
Absolutely. It looks like I got to pull this up because I do want to know who they play. But this, I guess the point being is that there's an opportunity here, especially, you know, you can't assume because the Dodgers can certainly lose ball games as well, but you can create a little space between these two teams, which would be making things a lot more comfortable heading into the next month for sure.
And yes, and I do like the fact that Ali Marmol is going to skip the start. The young pitcher, not Jack Flaherty, but oh my goodness,
Pallante.
He's skipping the starter who's been in the rotation the entire year, who hasn't pitched well. I'm having a senior moment here.
Oh, Dakota Hudson.
So he's gonna. Yeah, Dakota Hudson. Yeah.
All you had to do is not pitching well. Then I got it right away. That's all you had to say.
Yeah, and so you feel so good about Quintana, and Montgomery's had 2 magnificent starts. It's a shame you couldn't go with a 4-man rotation from here on out because you love Michaelis, you love Wainwright, and you love what you've seen out of Montgomery and Quintana. I don't know, you know, if Dakota's going to get another start. Jack Flaherty, by the way, is going to start on Tuesday, but I don't think you can rely on that. You know what I don't like about this whole Jack Flaherty situation is that the next day the Cardinals say, well, he came out of it feeling good. Well, I actually would rather have him come out of it feeling bad and have him pitch effectively than come out of it feeling good and give up 4 runs in 1 inning. So we'll see. Maybe by September he'll right the ship.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. Meantime, it's the Dodgers for the Brewers, and then they return home this weekend against the Cubs. But the Cubs can play spoiler, so we'll see what happens. Frank, we'll talk on Friday. Hopefully we'll have a 3.5 game lead by then. How's that sound?
That'd be awesome.
All right, take care. Have a great week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv.
Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.